Streets, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Steve Kathan. A day of reckoning 9 months after a mass shooting.
There was chaos in the courtroom when white supremacist Peyton Gendron was rushed by a man in the audience. The 19-year-old addressed the court after emotional testimony from relatives of the 10 black people he killed in a Buffalo, New York grocery store last May.
I did a terrible thing that day. I shot and killed people because they were black. Looking back now, I can't believe I actually did it.
Gendron was sentenced to life in prison without parole. He pleaded guilty last fall. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
It's a time of mourning in East Lansing, Michigan. Reporter Charlie Langton of affiliate WWJ on the aftermath of Monday's campus shooting that left three dead.
The focus turns to the victims of Monday's shooting at Michigan State University.
Take this time tonight and the days to follow to share your stories.
Vigils continue for the three students shot on campus and hope for five others still in critical condition.
The police have not revealed any possible motive. Many questions today in Washington for the nation's top aviation official.
Acting FAA Administrator Billy Nolen tells a Senate committee that Austin near miss where two planes came within 100 feet of each other and almost crashed.
The system works as it's designed to avert what you say could have been a horrific outcome.
Texas Senator Ted Cruz retorted.
Let me just underscore the urgency of preventing that sort of incident from happening again.
Yes, sir.
Allison Keyes, CBS News, Washington.
China today threatened unspecified action against entities tied to the downing of the spy balloon. The U.S. has already sanctioned six firms linked to Beijing's aerospace programs. And CBS's Ed O'Keefe tells us.
CBS News has learned U.S. intelligence had actually been tracking the balloon when it took off from Hainan Island off of the South China coast last month. It then started drifting towards Guam and Hawaii before making a northward turn up to Alaska. Officials say it's possible the balloon was blown off its initial course by weather, but they insist the Chinese still had control of it as it came south over the lower 48 states.
In western Minnesota, blizzard conditions led to highway and school closures, some drivers stranded on interstates. CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson says millions of others could see strong wind and rain today.
The severe weather threat actually extends as far north as Cleveland, Ohio, maybe as far north as Buffalo. That is how wide this severe threat is. So while tornadoes and hail are going to be mostly limited to the south, there is a general wind threat that goes all the way on up.
Commercial casinos in this country say they won more than $60 billion from gamblers in 2022. That's the best year in the industry's history. Wall Street, the Dow is down 140. This is CBS News.
Paid for by Govmint.com.
Did you hear? A recent stash of $10 gold Liberty coins from the 1800s has been found. These gorgeous gold coins are as bright and shiny as the day they were struck in the late 1800s, and less than 50 of these gold coins are available. Coin experts are calling this gold find an incredible opportunity.
Call 1-800-935-7267,
and you are guaranteed a $10 gold Liberty coin minted by the U.S. Mint in the 1800s. But with extremely limited availability, you must call now. Now, these gold Liberty coins from the 1800s are still in uncirculated condition. That is history you can hold in your hand.
To learn more, call 1-800-935-7267.
Call now and you'll receive a free American Coin Collector's Bonus Package, a $40 value, free with every order.
Call 1-800-935-7267 now to secure your $10 gold Liberty coins dated from the 1800s before they sell out. That's 1-800-935-7267.
A vehicle.
Ladies and gentlemen, children at heart and of all ages.
Start your day laughing with Mornings on WFHR.
7 to 10, Monday through Friday, join your host James and the best co-hosts in radio.
Keep up to date on local news, sports, and weather.
Along with Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club, and Friday's Culver's Star of the Day.
Join the conversation weekdays 7 to 10 for Mornings on WFHR. We're serious comedy to start your day.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Thursday, February 16th.
The North Central Wisconsin Workforce Development Board CEO meeting will take place at 9:30 a.m. at the Marathon Job Center Birch Room in Wausau. The Wisconsin Rapids Housing Authority Resident Advisory Board will meet at 1 p.m. in the community room of the Huntington House Apartments in Wisconsin Rapids. The Portage County Transportation Coordinating Committee meeting will take place at 1 p.m. at 2700 Week Street in Stevens Point. The Portage County Groundwater Citizens Advisory Committee will meet at 7 p.m. at the Portage County Annex Building in Conference Room 5. The Wisconsin Rapids School District will hold the Grant Elementary School Open House event on Thursday from 5 to 6:30 p.m. School board members are invited to attend to celebrate the completion of the 2021 referendum project updates at the school. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Overcast skies this afternoon with highs around 40. Winds out of the northwest, 15 to 20 miles per hour. Overcast skies again tonight, lows dip down to about 21. Overcast tomorrow, highs around 25. Sunny skies Friday with daytime highs approaching 26. 40 Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 37.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news, talk, and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
On the No Sour Ha Ha Funny Power Hour. What is it, Greg?
The No Sour Fun Time Ha Ha Power Hour. Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the 1 o'clock hour, and apparently I've been getting it wrong this whole time. Greg Bach, what is the name of this hour?
The No Sour Fun Time Ha Ha Power Hour.
You don't know it either.
No, I don't. But I made it up on the spot when I did it.
This is the hour after we sludge through sometimes fun things, but a lot of times heavier policy, heavy, hard stories, but important stories. And then we get to the last hour of the show where we do feel-good stories, human interest stories.
Are you ready to be uplifted?
Yes. And sometimes goofy, funny stories. And this hour is no different than the others. We are so excited to talk to Adam Van Noord, who is the director of ECDC's Multicultural Community Center in Wausau, Wisconsin, because after a year of building a resettlement agency and setting up new lives for 160 people seeking refuge, this Multicultural Community Center in Wausau celebrated those lives in the community that has supported them last month. And so we're so excited to learn more about what this process looks like, how people are getting readjusting and resettling in central Wisconsin. So thank you for joining us, Adam.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on. Happy to be here. This is a new experience for me.
Is this your first time on the radio?
Yeah. Well, yes, on the radio. We've done a lot of, you know, TV type spots, but this is more fun already, so.
Well, that is what we pride ourselves in. We're a little loose. We're very fun. And we're very conversational, and we're very excited that you're here. So I saw this article first from WPR as far as in just a year. I mean, so truly, so the agency or the Multicultural Community Center that you work for was January 2021 when it first opened?
Yeah. So technically, I was a staff of one from October to January. And so I had a few months to kind of, you know, figure out how we're going to set up our internet and buy computers and start like working toward, you know, the idea of launching a refugee resettlement agency before I hired my first staff member. But yes, in January we had a staff of three and things really took off quickly.
And so I'm screwing up the timeline as far as what was the timeline between obviously a lot of the people that you have been working with are refugees from Afghanistan, but that's not the only country. So where was the opening of your center with the influx of Afghani refugees?
No, I think you had it right. So January 2022 was when we first received our first two families.
Okay.
So this whole last year, just over a year now, We've been resettling people. Initially, the bulk of our individuals were coming from Afghanistan in the wake of that unfolding crisis that had occurred prior. So yes, it's been just over 1 year of actually, you know, receiving, resettling and supporting families toward self-sufficiency in central Wisconsin.
And so for those of us who obviously this, we hear about this, we read about this, but what is kind of an insight into what the resettlement process looks like? Like, how do people end up in Wisconsin?
Yeah, great question. It's such a niche in the big, wide context of immigration. Just in a nutshell, you know, the U.S. Has been obviously a country where immigrants could come and seek prosperity for hundreds of years, right? But really, it wasn't until after World War II and then finally the 1980 Refugee Act is what put in place the mechanisms that we have today, which allows us to, you know, identify vulnerable groups around the world and set actual numbers attributed to those different regions, and then decide how many in a given year we can take in as official refugees and set them up for success here.
Got it. And so, and one thing I think, I don't even know if I can define each, but there's different categories of immigration and immigrants that come to the country. And so there is refugee versus asylum seeker versus immigrant. And that is the difference between someone who's undocumented versus documented. And so kind of as someone who works in this, how do you best explain that to a lay person?
Such a great question and glad you asked it. You know, obviously, immigrant is probably the most general term. People leave their home countries for so many different reasons. You know, people from America will move to overseas contexts for different reasons. And so that's just constantly happening in our world and increasingly in today's age. And so immigrant is just anybody moving for any reason. Most often there's an, you know, economic component to that. Right? People seek prosperity where they can find it. But sadly, you know, we are seeing unprecedented forced displacement around the world today. And, you know, you don't have to watch the news for very long to find out why. There's, you know, there's food insecurity around the world. We have active wars right now, two of which we are hearing a lot about, some of which have been going on for a long time and the average American knows nothing about, ethnic wars, ethnic violence, in different places in the world. And then, of course, natural disasters. You know, just was it last week, Turkey, Syria, we saw an incredibly powerful earthquake just devastate a vast part of their country. And so when those things happen, people are going to seek protection and safety somewhere, somehow. And America, as one of the most prosperous countries on the planet, I think it's been a bipartisan consensus for decades that we should seek to accommodate some number of people within our capacity. And so I think the problem today is that the official mechanics of the refugee resettlement infrastructure sometimes get conflated with other complex immigration policy issues such as border security and, you know, what to do with the undocumented crises and how you pay for all this as a country. So it is valid. You know, these are very important topics to give attention to and discuss and really develop policies that reflect our goals and desires as a country.
We are talking to Adam Van Noort. He is the director of the ECDC's Multicultural Community Center in Wausau, and about their efforts setting up new lives for 160 people seeking a home here in Wisconsin.
And so what is that? If there's any stories that you feel comfortable sharing with us as far as kind of the success that the families in the last year, families or individuals, and how they're adjusting to central Wisconsin.
Yes. And if I might just add, I forgot to finish your previous question, which is very important. So a refugee, just to make that very clear, is an official status conveyed by U.S. law, right? And a refugee is someone who's been forced to flee their home country due to persecution, war, violence, or a difference in political opinion. So politically motivated ethnic violence could be a part of that. And they are seeking legal protection in a country that is not their own. Okay, that happens in our context through a very long, drawn out process with lots of controls. And typically it takes 2, maybe 3 years for someone to apply for that status and be basically allocated to an agency in the U.S. for resettlement. Asylum seekers are similar in the sense that they are also typically displaced from their home country and seeking protections, but they come to the U.S. or to another country and enter that country before they have been provided refugee status or another legal status.
Okay.
In other words, it's so bad where they are, they're compelled to leave and hoping that there's a place for them within the immigration system in the country where they're seeking refuge.
That's interesting. I think I probably have used those interchangeably, not knowing that there's actually a different in the status.
Yeah. Yeah. And then so, you know, then you have undocumented, which is just a general phrase for anybody coming. Maybe they overstayed a work visa. Maybe they came here like, you know, legally and they just didn't renew or that visa lapsed. Or you have the people who are sneaking across borders and maybe never actually, you know, listed their name or made themselves known to any official agency and are here under the radar. So that would be your undocumented. So back to your other question, though, which I like too, is the success stories. And so when people come here, most of the people that we're receiving now have been in the refugee process for quite some time, and they are just ready to put down roots. They are tired of being in flux. Maybe that was in a refugee camp that they're coming from. And so they meet Americans and they meet our agency staff, and they truly want to do whatever they have to do to be successful here. But they require a lot of supports. You know, if they are coming without a solid grasp of the English language, or if they are coming with some health complications. So our job is to really meet them where they're at, do a full assessment of what it's going to take to make them successful here as quickly as possible, help them get that first job, generate income, locate safe, suitable housing, get them connected with any public benefits that they might qualify for. And really all of this is just to help them get on their own 2 feet as quickly as possible. It's not intended to be a long-term, like indefinite, like welfare type support system. It's all about all trending toward independence and self-sufficiency. So we've seen a lot of people grow really quickly here and are very motivated to work and provide for their families.
That's so great to hear. And so we only have about a minute left, but did I read it correctly that in this year, so for the upcoming year of 2023, likely you guys have the capacity for another 160 people?
It's about 150 a year is what our target is. Again, it's not quota. It's not like we're, you know, doing everything we can to hit that number, right? It's just, that's what our stated capacity is, which has been made not just by our agency, but in partnership with our local stakeholders, school system, healthcare, public benefit agencies. We really communicate and ensure that when people come, they're going to have adequate resources.
Absolutely. Well, Adam Van Noord, who is a director of ECDC's Multicultural Community Center in Wausau, thank you so much for spending time with us today. It's such a
such
a feel-good story.
Yep, and it's not ACDC, it's ECDC.
ECDC. You should make shirts. You should make shirts on the logo. All right, this is As Goes Wisconsin. Yeah. Stick around.
What keeps you coming back? Is it the ability to finally get away? Or is it that you can play big and win big? Or maybe it's because it's the perfect place to be the best version of you. At Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin Dells, the grown-up getaway keeps you coming back.
Where can you find a discount store with a little bit of everything, including Target overstock items? Where can you always be sure every penny counts? It's EPC. Shop during our grand opening on March 10th and receive an additional 20% off your purchase for total savings of up to 80%. See you March 10th at EPC.
Light the lamp.
All the way down, he scores! A 200-foot empty net goal for the captain.
And defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left-hand save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net and scores.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. But did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. Wisconsin's spring primary election is Tuesday, February 21st, and your local Civic Media radio station will be tracking the results.
Special live coverage starts at 7 p.m. and News Director Terry Bell with a team of political experts will be following which candidates, both local and in the state Supreme Court race, move on to April.
Spring primary election coverage live Tuesday, February 21st, starting at 7, here on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
You know that today, Greg Bach, did you know? Jane Madner, did you know that today is National Wisconsin Day?
I feel like it's just a way to make fun of us more. I don't know why. It's just like, I don't know.
Did you guys know that?
I did not know this.
Well, shout out to the a cappella group, Fundamentally Sound. And their TikTok that I came across.
So great.
Of them. This is a acapella group from University of Wisconsin-Madison. I think they're all men. They have a very silly video to go along with that song that I think they wrote themselves.
It's perfect. And it's perfect, quite frankly, for our program.
It is. It is. I feel like that will not be the last time you hear that song as bumper music on this program.
Jane's so excited.
And so... this was only signed until, it's a very young holiday.
Oh, well, that explains why we may not have heard of it.
Tony Evers only signed this into, I guess, law or honorary
proclamation
in 2019.
Wait a minute. How does he, that doesn't make sense.
What do you mean?
No. I feel like the president has to say that. Like, it's national. Like,
no.
Yeah.
I mean, I think this is only, I think only Wisconsin's celebrating this. I don't know why it's called national,
though. Well,
that's
the thing, though. It's like, if it's National Wisconsin Day, this is something that's celebrated all across the land. If it's Tony, that's like giving yourself a nickname. Like, if Tony Evers was like, start calling me Oaklander, we're like, we're not calling you that. We are not calling you that, sir. At best, we're going to call you Tiny Santa Claus.
Skinny Santa Claus.
Skinny Santa Claus. Yeah. Okay. This, all right. Okay.
So this, I love this because on nationaltoday.com, yep, a site that I frequent often for this program.
You never know what you're going to find.
I love that the National Wisconsin Day timeline has four entries on it. This is what they are. 10,000 BC. Welcome to Wisconsin. Paleo Indians, the first known inhabitants, arrive in Wisconsin or whatever the land was at that point. So that's 10,000 BC.
Okay.
Then we fast forward a whole lot of time to 1836.
Oh, well, because nothing happened in the interim. Not really.
When Wisconsin territory is created by the act of the United States Congress, then not so much of a jump to 1848, when Wisconsin officially becomes a part of the Union of the U.S., and then jump to 2019, Governor Tony Evers dedicates February 15th to Wisconsin.
Sounds like they have a pretty small staff there.
On nationaltoday.com, we're like way down there.
Oh, yeah. It's not that old. You got to have a little more established presence.
It's National Marcus Day. All the
it's
guys.
Also Chris Farley's birthday.
Oh, okay. Well, way to bring it down, kiddo.
Well, we can still celebrate.
It's National Black Girl Magic Day. I love it.
But I guess what does one do on National? And how does this differ from our birthday? Because we're having our 175th birthday that's coming up this year.
Oh, what would that be? Because I remember it was the sesquicentennial.
What was that?
Sesquicentennial. That's the 150th?
Innovative.
Shut up. You know what? I'm tired of you mocking my education. I was educated at fine schools right here in Waukesha.
Right here in Waukesha. You were. But I truly, because I feel like every couple months there's some random Wisconsin day.
Celebration of some kind.
What, Greg?
So when it was 150, it was the sesquicentennial. Coming up is the demi-semi-septicentennial.
That's amazing.
Oh.
We should make shirts.
Oh, yeah. It should go all the way around. Like, I don't know. It celebrate the way we always celebrate. Just eating our feelings and... Getting ready for the snow tomorrow.
Ugh. That is true. Is there any more updates? Do you think this is going to be a false alarm like Christmas was?
It's really hard to say. Because as the meteorologist will always say, it depends upon how it tracks.
Yeah. And I live by the lake, so... It's always like, it's either better or worse.
Right,
like,
yeah. It can be good and bad.
Yeah, it's just, I think that we'll just have to
wait and see. We'll just have to wait and see because you get in here earlier than I do, so you may get here and beat it, but then what happens if you get stuck here, Jane?
I guess I'll be living here.
You live here now.
Do we have a cot here yet?
No, but there's a really nice hotel that's a couple blocks away that's right downtown.
Charge it to the company.
It's across from the Nice Ash.
What'd you say?
It's across from the Nice Ash.
Which is a cigar
I've been working out.
Smoking lounge.
And so if I absolutely have to stay overnight somewhere, that's where I'm staying.
Treat yourself.
Yes.
Yes. Take heed that.
Heed.
Is it all Southeast Wisconsin?
Most of. Yeah.
Most of Southeast most Wisconsin. Of. We're supposed to get up to 10 inches during the day.
To 10-ish. Yeah. Depending upon where you are.
And that is, yes, Greg, you're probably right. That is the incongruent weather, because right now it's 37 degrees, barely need a coat. And yeah. Tomorrow we are getting a snowstorm, and then it's supposed to be 40 on Sunday.
Yeah.
So welcome to Wisconsin.
Well, and we had gale force winds today. It was crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Who likes Gale? She steals my yogurt,
yeah,
Autumn.
Gale sucks.
The refrigerator every time I'm here.
No, but I was recording the news earlier this morning, and the wind whistling was audible.
Yeah.
It was just crazy.
When I got up this morning, I felt like my house was being shaken, and I have a pretty sturdy house.
Do you?
Yeah, it's a sturdy house.
Not your Lego houses.
No, they would crumble.
This is one wolf's blow. They're gone.
Today is Saint Skeletor's Day.
What? What is that?
Skeletor from He-Man. Did you watch He-Man?
Well, that's more my brother's thing.
Okay, yeah. Well, he's canonized, and today's his day of celebration.
You know what it also is?
What?
Single Awareness Day.
Oh.
Which is what we're going to talk about next. We have a very special guest.
Check out your singles.
Who is single, because none of us are single, so we can't partake in this holiday, also known as SAD. And so when we come back, we are going to have a conversation with a local comedian about her single status. Regan Nimala is going to be... Nimala.
There it is.
Regan Nimala is going to join us on the other side of the break. It's going to be funny. You don't want to miss this. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Let's go to Pick and Save. You love the grocery bag.
The Shaw 101F.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
I'm Naheem Hines, professional football player and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. but MDA helped her get the best treatments and care. And they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan, and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at MDA.org today.
I'm Tumani. When I was younger, I may have did some stupid things. I committed some crimes and even got shot, but I'm not a criminal.
That's right. I'm Jamal. I work for Youth Advocate Programs. Yeah, I was Tumani's advocate, helping him stay out of jail, stay in the neighborhood, get a job, and work hard to see a better future for himself. If you have a change of mindset, you can have a change of action.
As a little kid, I experienced trauma and I acted out. Made some mistakes, but I'm not a mistake.
No, she's a good student and a great kid. As Jalen's YAP advocate, I'm always here for her. With the Youth Advocate Programs, I was able to connect with Jalen.
YAP is a community-based alternative to youth incarceration, congregate placement, and neighborhood violence. After completing our program, 86% of participants were arrest-free. YAP works.
And now, I'm a YAP advocate, helping kids like me find a better way.
Youth Advocate Programs. Others talk social change. We make it happen. Learn how at yapinc.org.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go. I didn't think I'd survive. But I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there.
Covenant House helped me break the cycle of homelessness in my family. They gave me the love that I needed.
Over 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed tonight. When youth who are experiencing homelessness have a hot meal, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love, they can overcome heartbreaking challenges and have a brighter future.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding. I'm a speaker, I'm an author. Covenant House really helped me and really helped mold me into the woman I am today.
If you or someone you love is asking for help, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. There's a Red Cross blood drive at the Macmillan Library on Thursday, February 16th from noon to 5 p.m. This is open to the public and will be in the library's all-purpose room. You can save up to 3 lives just by donating blood. Adults and teens 16 and over are eligible to donate. You can visit redcrossblood.org or call 1-800-733-2767 to make an appointment or just stop in to see if there are any openings. Face coverings are optional for donors. Love, Inc. and its partner churches present the Share the Love Now and Forever event from Stephen and Annie Chapman. This concert for couples is on Friday, February 17th from 6 to 9 p.m. at Christian Life Fellowship in Port Edwards. Tickets are $25 for two, or $40 will include dessert and coffee. In sports, the Bucks beat the Celtics in overtime last night. The Badgers beat Michigan. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Overcast skies this afternoon with highs around 40. Winds out of the northwest, 15 to 20 miles per hour. Overcast skies again tonight. Lows dip down to about 21. Overcast tomorrow, highs around 25. Sunny skies Friday with daytime highs approaching 26. 40 Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 37.
Partake in Single Awareness Day, but our guest who is on the phone, Milwaukee comedian Reagan Niemela, you sure can, can't you?
Oh, yes. Yes, I can.
Because you are alone.
Reagan.
Two cats. That's all I got, baby.
Did you know that the acronym for this holiday, celebrated every year on February 15th, is SAD?
Oh, my God. That is, it really should, they should rework it, somehow make it mad.
There you go. So I wanted to invite you on because Reagan and I were both part of the Milwaukee Roast last October, and I got to witness some of her jokes about dating in Milwaukee that I almost peed my pants because they were so funny. And I'm not sure how many of them you can share in their full glory on the radio, Reagan. But as far as just asking you, what is it like to be single in Milwaukee these days?
It's not good, Kristen. It's not great. I've done the apps. I've been to the bars. It's rough out there. That roast, I think the way I categorized it after a solid 2 years of being on the dating apps, I just kind of started to divide the men up by the neighborhoods they live in. And that was kind of where those jokes came from. So I don't know if you guys want me to just run through
them.
You can't curse. But beyond that, let's go through the neighborhoods of what kind of men you or women can typically find in the area.
And I can talk about both for sure. Yeah, no. Most of my dating has been in River West. Part of that is because I myself am a barfly, so it's not like I'm the greatest catch here either. But I think River West. The River West guys are usually the hipsters. For some reason, they're wearing Carhartt. We don't know why, because they don't have those kinds of jobs, but they're wearing Carhartt. And they're those types of dudes who, when you go home with them, they're the kind of guy who's going to ask you to confirm consent so many times that eventually you beg them to choke you. You understand? That's kind of what we're working with. It's white guys with dreads who are going to explain Roe versus Wade to you, the woman. That's kind of what's going on. Yeah, not good. We call them River West rats. That's just for me. A lot of functioning alcoholics who want to explain their tattoos. That's exactly what's going on there. So then after I kind of like got through my River West phase, I was like, oh, I'm going to mature here. I'm going to go down to Bayview. I'm going to do some Bayview.
That's maturity.
Baby boys. Oh yeah. No, the Bayview boy is as emotionally undeveloped as the River West guys, but they have slightly more money. They just have slightly more money. If you want to date a guy in Bayview, you want to date him if you're wondering what it's like to be condescended to about tapas. That's exactly, you're like, yeah, these small plates, Bayview, you don't even know. I don't know. That dating dudes in Bayview always feels like it's the kind of guy who's going to like talk to you about Black Lives Matter, and they're going to have BLM signs in their window while they're simultaneously going to do everything possible to live as far away as possible from those communities. They're just like the biggest ironic hipsters of all time. Also, have you guys ever dated anyone in Bayview?
I've barely dated in Milwaukee. I met Mike almost as soon as I moved here. So I never got to experience the glory that is dating in Milwaukee, Reagan.
No, I mean, the last... No.
No, if you date one bartender in Bayview, you've dated them all because they all work at the same bars and they're all best friends. It's the most incestuous. It's not okay. Don't date in Bayview, for sure.
We're talking to Reagan Nivola. We're talking to Reagan Nivola, who is a Milwaukee-based comedian, about her experience on Singles Awareness Day of being a single person trying to date in Milwaukee. And so what's the next neighborhood?
Yeah, I can't believe I would tell somebody to date in River West over Bayview, but it's true. we got to get out to West Dallas, right?
Oh, okay.
You got to.
Oh, baby.
You got to. Oh, yeah. No. See, dating a guy in West Dallas is great if you don't want to be the one who has to suggest not using a condom. You don't want to have to be the one to put it out there. You want the guy to make an assumption. That's great. Oh, man. Yeah, if you want to make out with somebody who has an active dip in their mouth, you should date in West Dallas. Free tobacco. You'll get a free buzz. Yeah. What else did we do on this? I'm trying to remember what we all did on the show. But yeah, honestly, dating in West Dallas isn't good because you're going to have to drive to be disappointed when you could just maybe take a bus. It's not as fun. Walker's Point, always great for dating the ladies. I date the ladies and the guys. Yeah, because I don't know. I'm dating the women right now, but it's very difficult because I don't know if you guys know what it's like dating women. Obviously, women over the last 100 years gotten a ton of rights. The women have become incredibly confident these last for forever until Roe versus Wade happened. Then women got confident and angry, right? Because we had our rights taken away. Now women are confident and angry. Does that remind you of anyone, you guys? Now women are basically men. They're basically men. I went out with this lady, and I was in Walker's Point. I really don't have any advice on this. This is more of a PSA, more of a warning. I went out with a woman and recently told her that I don't want to see her anymore. And she was like, that's okay. But just so you know, I might bother you until you concede, which is something that no man has ever said to me. Like, I feel like every time I've dated a dude, he just like calls me a not nice name. And then he sleeps with somebody I know personally. Right. But when you break up with a woman, you're going to become part of her 5-year revenge arc plan. That is what's happening in Walker's Point.
I was going to say, I've never heard a person invoke what sounds like Robert's rules in their engagement and breaking up. Like, I will pursue you.
Yes.
You will concede.
Yes.
I shall win the day.
Yes. I swear. She's going to get pregnant just so she can steal that favorite baby name I told her about while we were going out. It's like absolutely insane how committed she is. She's like, we will be together. I don't really have any jokes about that. More of just like
no,
a warning.
That's, I mean, that's
all pure
funny.
Warning. This is
yeah,
all pure warning.
Like, be warned. Steer clear of Walker's Pint.
I mean, great place to drink.
Just great place, yeah.
Shout out to Betsy.
Yeah, make sure. I feel like it's like you can't date like anyone in their 20s is the real issue. And then, yeah, last but not least, you know, if you want to try to class it up, you can go to Whitefish Bay and find a divorcee. That's kind of my last. But yeah, if you want, are you ready to upgrade their first marriage to your, their second marriage to your first one, I mean? Do you want to date a man who looks like a virgin but is also an attorney? that's where you want to go. It's the Whitefish Bay.
Their house just says, I work in finance.
Yeah, I have more on this, but I can't really say them out loud.
We appreciate that. We appreciate that.
Dating a divorcee is great because you only have to see them every other weekend, you know?
There it is. There it is. Oh, man. Yeah. So it's funny because I feel like there's also, now there's data that backs up your experience, Reagan, because Wallet Hub, I don't know if you guys missed this this study from Wallet Hub.
Sounds like a reputable place for a study.
We are, Milwaukee wound up 98th. On Wallet Hub's list of 182 best and worst cities for singles, and so we are pretty low on the list. But apparently, Madison is second. So maybe you just have to start driving to Madison. Have you ventured that out at all?
I went to school in Madison. This is a bad ranking. I don't believe it. It was way worse in Madison. It's way worse in Madison. You don't know, baby. I was a college student then, so maybe it's better as an adult dating in Madison.
I feel like it's not.
I don't think it is. I was very surprised by this ranking because, first of all, I feel like Madison's even smaller than Milwaukee, so there's even less people. I feel like so many of the people you're either going to date like an epic bro, like or exact science guy. Or an academic, or they're going to be married. Mm-hmm.
I feel like Madison is like if you gave Bayview many zip codes.
Yes.
And it's just going to...
Yeah, exactly.
Awful.
And if you meet them in the bar, you have no idea whether or not they're 21, because everyone has a fake there. So you're going to be hitting on two young folks.
You met at the Great Dane. Run away.
Exactly, yeah. Paul's Club? No, thank you.
Because it's funny, because then, in contrast, this... Literally this week. So in one study, on the one hand, Wallet Hub is like, Milwaukee, tough place to be single.
I want to know their scientist team.
But then
on Wallet Hub.
In a travel publication this week, Milwaukee ranks as one of the most romantic cities in the country.
Okay.
I saw that. Nothing romantic about cheese farts. That's just not true.
I think Milwaukee's romantic on an evening sundown in the summertime.
On a pontoon boat?
That's it. That's your window. After that, it's dark and weird, or it's cold, and you're inside.
With beer.
Yeah, with beer.
At least with beer. So, Reagan, as far as, like, you've done the apps, What are the apps like right now? As far as, is it just running through? Like, how often do you come across the same person that's been on the same app for a long time?
Oh, I've been seeing the same guys for years. Where it's like weird because I'm like, do we know each other? Like now, like we don't know each other. What I'm trying to say is like we have not swiped right on each other for years. But we've definitely seen each other's profiles. I'm like, oh, what's going on, Eric? You're still looking too, huh? Well, still not me. Swipe left. but yeah, it's a very limited pool here. It's so interesting, too, to watch the ebb and flow. Like summertime, way more options. Wintertime, same sad 10 people. Yeah, it's cuffing season, right? Yeah. Everybody's cuffed up right now. So you're just kind of on your own.
And so do you ever see, because I feel like it is small walkie for a reason. Do you ever see, like you just said, there's those people, because I do remember this from my dating app days. It was not in Milwaukee. This was in San Francisco. And San Francisco is bigger, but it's not actually that much bigger. The whole Bay Area is. But I remember there would be times when there'd be people, either you would see each other and neither of you swiped right, or both of you swiped right. You just never actually like talked. And then you
connected,
would end up seeing them in public. And it becomes that awkward dance of, do I acknowledge that we kind of know each other, even though we don't? Does that happen to you?
That has happened to me. I've also introduced myself to someone who's like, we swiped right together on Hinge. And I was like, whoa. Like, he remembered and I didn't.
Oh, God.
That was very embarrassing. I've also seen people I've ghosted out in public who then try to hit me up again. And I'm like, man, I ghosted you for a reason. Yeah. Like, it's not going to happen. But no, that happens a lot. Especially like if you're like me, I've got maybe like 3 or 4 bars that like when I am looking to hang out with my friends and have like a cocktail, I go to the same like 3 or 4 places max. So if I'm at the same places very frequently, I feel like eventually you just kind of bump into those same people who are within your radius, right? Because let's face it, I'm doing like a 2-mile radius.
That sounds exhausting in and of itself.
That's fair. All right, Reagan, we gotta let you go. But before we do that, do you have any shows coming up that you want to promote?
The only thing I've got coming up, would be, no, I don't have anything right now in Milwaukee. I'm in Iowa this week. So if you're listening in Iowa, I'll see you Friday.
Well, I can't wait to hear a story. I can only imagine stand up in Iowa. Hopefully it's in one of the bigger cities, but I'm sure you'll get stories out of that. Maybe you'll meet Mr. Wright there or Mrs. Wright.
No, Miss Wright.
Miss Wright. Sorry.
Well, Mrs. could be a Polly. I don't know.
All right. Reagan Nimala is a Milwaukee-based comedian. I will link all of her socials on today's notes. Thank you so much for making us laugh, Reagan. We'll see you soon.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye. All right. Come back. We'll talk about who's headlining at the Laughing Tap.
I didn't want to fight. Started to cry, but then remembered
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win 2 value baskets and 2 concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Parents make a lot of promises to their kids.
We promise to be there every step of the way, especially on those wobbly first steps. We promise to always keep them safe. I mean, nothing's more important to us than that. And now, all kids 6 months and older can get a COVID vaccine. So we've got another way to keep that promise.
We can do this. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hi, I'm E.J. Williams. Each year, millions of animals are abandoned, and more than a million are euthanized before they can be rescued. Organizations like American Humane are working to harness the healing power of the human-animal bond, as animals can be trained as life-saving service and therapy dogs to help veterans, the elderly, and children with special needs to overcome the obstacles of everyday life. To find out how you can help give animals and the people they help a new leash on life, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Wisconsin, WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry. Jane Metnair, who are we just listening to, Jane?
That is Back in the Saddle, the Curly Shuffle.
I like it. I like it. It feels like a swing dance that I could get flipped around to. All right, Mr. Greg Bach.
Hi.
Who is coming up as the headliners at the Laughing Tap this weekend?
Headliner this week is Mr. Dave Waite. He is making his triumphant return. He was here last year. He'll be doing three shows at the Laughing Tap, one on Friday, two on Saturday, with a 7:30 and 10 o'clock on Saturday. Tickets are, of course, available at laughingtap.com, so you can buy your tickets there. And tickets are going, we're at a low ticket alert for Friday, and Saturday early is starting to sell out as well. And then get your tickets for late night if you want to come out to a late night show. It'd be super, super fun.
Do you tweet out or on any of the Laughing Tap social medias the low ticket alert? Do you have like a special GIF?
Not a GIF, no. We just make a graphic that just has the poster and it says low ticket alert. Then you can see it. And,
you should send those out even when it's not low tickets. The scarcity is a motivating mindset.
Well, the thing is that we thought about that, but if the headliner sees that, and they're like, you said there was a low ticket alert, we're like, we were lying.
We were trying to trick people into buying tickets.
Exactly, yeah. So, you know, we have a certain percentage we'll fire it off at, but sometimes, like, if we're getting close to the show, it's like 2% below. We're like, yeah, just do it. Who knows? But yeah, we're honest people, Kristen.
I know you are. So what kind of comedy can people expect from
Well, we have a clip for you.
Oh,
do we go to the clip? Let's go to the clip, Jane.
I'm from Northern Kentucky. I'm from Kentucky. Hadn't been home in a while. You know, it's, you know, Kentucky's one of those places when you're not in it, you have to defend it. Because when you're there, everybody's like, we're from here. And you're like, yep, we are. But other places, people are like, Kentucky, cousins, and then some other stuff. And then, and you're like, I don't know. I go, dude, that's usually my argument. I'm just like, dude. And then I hope they change the subject. I'm like, dude. But then I go, George Clooney's from there. That's all I got. And I really hope nothing bad comes out about George Clooney, because then we really don't have anything left.
I didn't know George. I guess I didn't realize that George Clooney's from Kentucky.
I
believe Johnny Depp is from Kentucky as well. And if I'm not mistaken,
Ariel Elias, friend of the show.
What were the
our friend had the beer, who shot skyrocketed to notoriety when someone at a comedy club
threw a beer can
at her.
Yep.
But she's doing great. We still need to get her to the
Tucker Carlson, you're going to cover that in your little special about free speech.
Oh, yeah. So we're going to talk about that next week. Let's preview next Wednesday, because you have a gripe.
Oh, I have such a gripe with this man. So Tucker Carlson gets his own original programming. He has this show, but now he's doing like documentaries. And I use that word documentary very loosely.
It's like the Matt Walsh documentaries.
Yeah, it's stupidmentaries. And he wants to talk about freedom of speech and how it's being killed. And he's going to center around the comedy clubs and how people are being you know, assaulted on stage for saying things. And what's funny is that most, like with Ariel, she was being assaulted by Trump supporters.
Yeah.
And he's not going to show that. And two of the comics that they've shown in the video have said, I didn't give you permission to show this. I wouldn't be part of your documentary. Stop using my material. Stop using my content. So I want to watch that. And I'm going to tie it in with a story regarding Mama Bach, Mama Jackie, sending me some stuff and going from there. But yeah.
We'll do that in the noon hour next week because I think that's super interesting. But at the top of the hour, at the top of the show, someone asked you for your comedic genius as far as coming up with some nicknames for Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Okay. But
let's hear what you, because I know you've been brainstorming there.
I have some.
All day.
They're not the best, I think. I think I can do better. So first one, Moronic Taylor Greene.
Okay.
Next one, Moscow Taylor Greene.
Does she have ties to Russia?
I feel like if she likes Trump, she likes Russia.
Got it.
Jerkbag.
It's concise.
It's concise.
Thank you.
It's concise.
And then I like this one, but you did bring up a good point. Maleficent Taylor Greene, which I feel like, yes, it gives too much credence to her intelligence, which I don't think she has any. She's not smart enough to be evil. She's just dumb.
And someone, I won the name that I did not come up with this, but I've heard her referred to as Margarine, which I like.
Kind of like that.
Margarine.
She ain't as good as butter.
What did Chelsea Handler call her when she was guest hosting The Daily Show last week?
I don't think I can say that on the air, actually. No,
I think she just called her Insurrectionist Barbie.
That's right.
I mean, there's other things you also can't say on the air, but it was something of, she also hates her job because she went on some rant about how people don't understand how hard they have to work and how much they don't see their families. I was like, yeah, that's the job.
And she was complaining about her salary. She makes $174,000 a year. She was whining about how much more money she made before she was in Congress.
What was she doing before? She's a business owner, but she didn't have to sell her business.
She worked for her father's company.
So she was making more than $175,000 a year when she worked for her father's company?
Working for daddy, apparently.
Now I'm going to go down that rabbit hole. There goes my afternoon of what I'm going to go look and see. How much money was Marjorie Taylor Greene making prior to being elected to office? Because I would love to make $175,000 a year.
I think I could make a budget on that.
If you told me I could make $175,000 for 1 year of my life and never make more than, say, like 50 grand after that, but bring it on and pay off all my bills and then live happy.
Mm.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, I get that in certain areas, salaries go further in some areas than others.
And D.C. is very pricey, obviously.
Yeah. But it's more than I'm making now.
Her father owned Taylor Commercial, a Georgia-based contracting company.
Yeah, it was a construction company.
Yep, that's what I figured, yeah.
But I just think it's an awfully bad look when you go back to your constituents or whoever you're speaking to and start whining about how little money you're making.
Especially in that area of Georgia.
It's not.
They don't care, though.
She was the CFO of the company.
Oh.
Which, two things about that. One, huh? And second, if you were a CFO, you're a financial, you should use that and say, I work in finance. I work in numbers. I work in money. I can talk to you about the budget. She never does that. She's just like, I love fur and hate Joe Biden. But yes, Dave Way at the Laughing Tap, laughingtap.com, 3 shows.
All right. That's going to do it for us here at As Goes Wisconsin. Stick around for Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian or the Chad Holmes Show on WXCO. Come back tomorrow at 11 a.m. when we will do this all again. Thank you for listening. Thank you for texting. Thank you for calling. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
Those knuckleheads love to get in a scuffle. They push and they shove doing the curly shuffle. Hey, Mo, hey, Mo.
Hey, Mo, hey, Mo.
Well, yuck, 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 yuck.
This is the story of a very special woman. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in a thousand pieces, just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.